Thank you for the privilege of being with you today. Let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, Peace with God. And you can find this study on abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com, abideinchrist.com. Go to Sermons and Bible Studies and click on Romans chapter 5, Peace with God. There are little islands of peace all over the world. And I'm referring to men and women who have peace with God. The key to Romans chapter 5 is found in the word rejoice. And the person who has been justified by faith in Jesus Christ can rejoice because of the results of believing on Christ. And this is obvious from the opening words in chapter 5. Therefore, because of our new relationship with God, we can rejoice in our spiritual position. We rejoice in our present circumstances, and we rejoice in the Lord God. We can rejoice in our complete assurance. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. We have a new spiritual position before God, and we have been justified by faith. Paul restates the great truth of Romans chapters 3 and 4, therefore having been justified by faith. The Bible makes it very clear that we are sinners, and for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. We are still sinners, and there's no denying the facts unless we're completely naive and self-deceived. We know from personal experience that we have failed God. And when the Bible speaks of justification, it means to declare righteous. And when the convicted sinner puts his faith in the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ for his sins, a righteous God declares righteous the believing sinner. God the Father sees our faith in his Son and forgives us our sins against him. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us of every sin. We now have a new relationship with a holy God. We are justified by faith in what Christ did for us on the cross. And since the Father is satisfied with his Son, he is also satisfied with those who believe in his Son's death and resurrection. God sees our faith and declares us right with himself. Pardoned, forgiven, acquitted. It is at once and for all an act of God whereby he declares us righteous in his sight. Now keep in mind Paul's declarations on justification in Romans, for we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 28. He sums up his illustration from the life of Abraham. He says, "For our sake also to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who has delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification." Romans chapter 4, verses 24 and 25. How can Paul make such a declaration? It's based upon the death of Jesus for our sins. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 10 tells us God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul makes the greatest statement of salvation by grace through faith as opposed to a salvation by works. He writes, "A man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, and so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law no flesh will be justified." How do you become a child of God? Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Here's Paul's formula for evaluating the basis of our assurance of salvation. For neither is circumcision anything or uncircumcision, but a new creation. Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. For him it was not a matter of being a member of the Jewish nation or having the sign of the covenant. The critical need was to be born spiritually. And for us today, it's not our good works, our baptism, our church membership, or taking communion. Our eternal life depends on our relationship with Jesus Christ. Am I a new creation? Have I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for a right relationship with God? Only Christ will do. What are you depending upon for a right relationship with God? Justification by faith is illustrated by the Apostle Paul. Justified and faith were explained and illustrated in the life of Abraham. He was declared to be God's friend. And Abraham entered into a close relationship with God when he believed God would do what he had promised. And this intimate love relationship with God was given as a gift. And there was no merit involved. It was by faith alone, believing that God would do as he had promised. Justification is a legal declaration by God the Father pronouncing the lost sinner acquitted because he has put his faith in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to save him. The moment you believe, God declared you just in his eyes. So therefore, we have peace with God. And since we have been justified by faith, the first result, Paul says, is we have peace with God. And if you have really believed on Jesus Christ, you will have peace with God. If you're justified, you are a member of his family. And there's no longer any hostility between you and God. You're at peace with him. We are no longer held in fear of God. We don't have to worry about dying and facing God. The prospect of death does not hold a dreadful fear or terror over us because we know we have peace with God, because we're justified. We have lost our fear of God, and we now have an intimate love relationship with him. Christ has resolved our most basic fears in life, and the perfect love casts out all fear. It is now a loving relationship with God because we have been reconciled to him. So Paul says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why do Christians have this deep inner peace with God? Because we've been declared righteous by faith in Christ. And the implications of this for the Christian life are extensive. We ought not to wait around thinking that the Almighty is sitting on his throne just waiting to pounce on us. The great truth of the gospel is that at this very moment, we were completely forgiven. And moreover, because of that forgiveness, we now have peace with God, a peace that can never be taken away. And furthermore, as Paul goes on to elaborate in Romans chapters 5 through 8, because we have this peace with God, we now can grow in grace. In other words, since we have been completely forgiven, we now have the potential to be changed into the likeness of God's Son. It's impossible to think of justification without sanctification. Paul is not saying that at the moment we trust in Christ as our Savior, we were completely changed and made sinless. We will still sin even though we struggle not to. We are sinners, but we are sinners saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone. How can God give us this forgiveness and peace with him? It is through our Lord Jesus Christ. The foundation is the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ on our behalf. And so the Apostle Paul declared in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man some wouldn't have dared even to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Christ died for you. Put your own name in that verse. God demonstrates his own love toward you, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ died for you on that cross. Christ died for us, not because we were Jewish or not Jewish, good and righteous, Baptist or Catholic, but because we were plain old sinners. The lost peace or lost salvation can be restored. What can you do when you have lost that sense of peace? The way back on track is not by working on your feelings. It's not by being saved a second time. Open your Bible and review your justification. God placed all of your sins upon Jesus Christ. Go back over the facts from God's Word. Remind yourself of what God has declared about you. God is able to perform what he has promised. Satan will always accuse you and try to destroy your peace with God. Talk to yourself. Remind yourself of this great positional truth in God's Word. My acceptance with God does not depend upon me. It all depends upon Jesus Christ. My sin debt does not cancel out my justification. God has dealt with all of my sins in Christ's death and resurrection. Jesus died for me on the cross. I rest upon that great fact. God has reckoned or imputed his righteousness to me because I believe that he has dealt with my sin in the work of Jesus Christ. God has acquitted me. The Bible says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Reckon upon God's promises and fellowship will be restored. And that experience of peace will be restored as you trust in him. Reckon upon Christ's death. Romans chapter 6 verse 11 says, "Even so consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus." We have no merit in ourselves before God. No matter how long we're Christians or how long we serve him, we can only stand on the work of the Lord Jesus Christ on our behalf. We never deserve it or merit it. It is his gift to us. In fact, the longer you walk with Christ, the more you comprehend this great truth from his word. Don't let your conduct or behavior disturb your peace with God. The smallest sin destroys, for the time being, your sense of presence. The immediate fellowship is broken. You don't lose your salvation. You do not lose your eternal position with God. You lose the joy of fellowship with him. How do you restore that fellowship? God has provided us a bar of soap, and he wants us to use it daily. 1 John chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 tells us, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Keep short agendas with God. Deal with sin daily. Don't let sinful behavior and thoughts or attitudes rob you of that sense of peace. Cultivate that sense of peace. Unconfessed sin, unrepented sinful behavior, bad attitudes will rob you of your experiencing the peace with God. Keep your heart tender toward God and you will experience his deep peace. We can rejoice because we have complete assurance in His Word in the death of Jesus Christ. We can rejoice because we have continued access to His abounding grace. Through Jesus Christ, we have obtained our introduction by faith into His grace in which we stand. Romans chapter 5, verse 2. A.T. Robertson observes, "Grace is here present as a field into which we have been introduced and where we stand, and we should enjoy all the privileges of His grace about us." Moreover, it's a perfect tense. He has taken us into the presence of the King and introduced us to Him. We now have a permanent access into the grace of God. It is a permanent position. And now that we have been introduced to the King, and we can go into His presence anytime we desire, we have a constant supply of His grace available to us. It's daily. It's moment by moment. Again, A.T. Robertson adds, "The exhortation is that we keep on enjoying peace with God and keep on exalting in hope and the glory of God." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19 further elaborates on this same introduction to the Father and the continuing access into His presence. Paul says, "For through Him we both have access in one Spirit to the Father. And so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are in God's household." Ephesians chapter 2, verses 18 and 19. I think this is one of the most beautiful truths in the Word of God. I have studied the Word of God now for almost 60 years. And I go back to these great truths again and again and again. I begin my day every day with a simple commitment to Jesus Christ. "Lord Jesus, I give you this day. It's yours. You purchased it at Calvary. I'm yours. Here is my life. You take and live your life through me today. You be my Lord and Master. Come, live your life through me today." Man, you talk about peace. You talk about joy. Your daily life becomes an intimate walk with the Lord God. And He is free to break in upon you any moment throughout the day. Why is this so precious to the believer? It's because when we become Christians, we did not become immune to pressures and trials, tribulations and difficulties in life. We can now face life head on. We need a constant supply of God's grace. And because we're justified by faith, we have instant access to God of all grace. We have continual acceptance before Him. We have all of His resources available to us to live the Christian life. You determine how much wealth you receive from God. How big a vessel do you bring to Him today? Do you bring a tiny cup or a big bucket? What did you come experiencing today? You have access to the fullness of God, and He wants to give you the choicest of gifts. Why do you cling to sinful behavior and bad attitudes? And we have a constant supply of resources in our hour of need. We can rejoice in His provision. Chapter 5, verse 2 continues to tell us that we can rejoice because we have confident anticipation in the hope of the glory of God. And furthermore, Paul says we exult in the hope of the glory of God. The word exult means to rejoice greatly, to leap for joy. There is only one thing worth boasting about, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. The word exult, rejoice, here means to boast, to glory, and to render, to rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In verse 3, we exult in the tribulation, and in verse 11, we exult in God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 3, we glory in the Lord Jesus Christ, and put no confidence in the flesh. This hope is linked with trust and yearning, and is distinct from fear. The life of the righteous one is grounded in a hope that implies a future, because its point of reference is God. The hope is to trust. It is demanded even in good times. It is not our own projection, but the confidence in which God did it. Christ is our hope. It has nothing to do with the calculation that may give a false sense of security. We did not trust in the stock market or our own righteousness or our righteous inheritance. God has shattered all our best laid plans. The politicians who build on calculable forces will be confronted. Hope looks to Him whom none can control, and it is thus freed from anxiety and worry, but must be accompanied by reverence and awe of God. The hope of glory must be a quiet, patient waiting on the Lord God. If God helps us in present distress, He will finally put an end to all of our distress. When fixed on God, hope embraces expectation, trust, patient waiting. It is linked to faith. Observe how Paul continues to develop this idea in Romans. Our hope rests on faith in the finished work of salvation and is sustained by the indwelling Holy Spirit. It is an essential part of the daily Christian life. It endures even when we see God providing before our very eyes, for it focuses not on what is given, but on God who gives, and will continue to maintain it when it is given. Endurance may be stressed in this life, but our waiting is confident, patient, and trust, for we are saved by hope. And this hope of glory denotes that which makes God majestic. Since God is invisible, it necessarily carries a reference to His self-manifestation when He returns in glory. The Living Bible paraphrases verse 2, "And we confidently and joyfully look forward to actually becoming all that God had in mind for us to be." Everyone who is justified by faith has the certain hope that Jesus gives when He said, "Because I live, you too shall live," John chapter 14, verse 19. He promised He would go to His Father, "I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also," John chapter 14, verse 3. The Apostle John writes, "Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it's not appeared as yet what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure." 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. We can rejoice because we can celebrate the victory over our adversary. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. The abundance of grace gives us hope to face tribulations and trials, persecutions, pressures that come today. And this sense of hope gives a strong certainty. In Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 tells us we rejoice because God takes these pressures in life and uses them to bring glory to His name. Paul says, "And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and does not disappoint. Because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who is given to us." It is more than to rejoice. It is to glory, to exalt in the pressures in life. It is not even to submit to these tribulations without complaining and becoming bitter. It has the idea of glorying in God, glorifying his name in the presence of these pressures. It reminds us of Paul and Silas in the prison in Philippi, singing in prison. Where do you turn to when you face difficult circumstances, the changes in your life, or when things don't go the way you've planned? We don't get our strength from our circumstances. We get it from our continual access to the presence of God. His grace and power is continually available to us. We can draw near to Him in full assurance of faith in His sacrifice for us. Even to endure and glorify God in these difficult times is a gift of His grace. He gives us His sustaining presence. Because of the constant flow of grace to triumph even in our troubles, we can even glory in the pressures of life. We can have full joy here and now even in our trials and troubles. How do you do this, Will? God uses the terrible pressures in life to perfect patience in us. For those of us who are terribly impatient, God allows the intense burdens of the Spirit of our circumstances to teach us His patience. Do you notice the chain of growth experience? This growing patience produces strength of character. It tests our character and proves it to be solid. It proves that we have stood the test. And the Holy Spirit can cause the love of God to overflow. And when that happens, you cannot help but be a statement to a watching world. The goal of progressive sanctification is our being conformed to the image and the likeness of Jesus Christ. How does God make us holy? He causes us to rejoice in our tribulations because He knows these pressures produce steadfast endurance. And here's the foundation for proven character and hope. Our hope is not disappointed because God is transforming us into the image of His Son. This renewing of hope gives us encouragement to keep on drawing from the fountain of grace. We can rejoice because He cares enough about us to make us through refining fires to become more like Jesus Christ. What is your personal relationship with Jesus Christ today? Have you put your faith and trust in Him as your personal Savior? His death is substitutionary death, meaning He died in your place to pay your debt. And if you'll believe on Him, He'll give you eternal life. Christ died for, instead of, on behalf of the ungodly. He died for us. He died for you and for me. And the very moment you put your faith and trust in His death for you and His resurrection, He gives you eternal life. He comes to live and to dwell within you. The Holy Spirit is one who makes all these great truths personal in the Christian life. Because of His death on our behalf, we are now reconciled to God. Much more than having been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. And much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. His love will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And may I encourage you today, if you've never done so, right now, this very moment, put your faith and trust in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to give you eternal life. May the Lord's richest blessings be yours today.